Last year on June the 25th, about 10 o'clock, I opened an email. The email had an attachment to it that was a state contract that was to renew on July the 1st of 2014. A few days before, I'd been tipped off that that contract probably was going to include some language that we might have trouble with. And sure enough, I opened up the attachment, I read through the contract, and for about 3.5 pages, the cabinet in the Commonwealth of Kentucky explained to me why we could no longer be a Christian organization and do what we do at New Pathways with a Christian emphasis. In a nutshell, they said, we don't want you to take kids to church. You can't, not we don't want you to, but you can't pray on your campus. You can't give kids a Bible, and you can't share your faith. We didn't have any choice but to say thanks, but no thanks. From our very inception, the mission of New Pathways was to minister to children in a Christ-like atmosphere. Our vision was to serve hurting children with the love of God, the compassion of Christ, teaching them that there's a better way to live than what our world espouses. And I would argue, and I think the evidence is pretty clear, that the way the world's trying to do life is not working very well. Well, that immediately sent us into a time of transition. You've been hearing and reading and knowing about that. I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that. But it sent us into a time of transition. And I'll tell you, when you've done something for 24 years the same way, and all of a sudden you have to do things differently, it can be a little bit scary, can't it? When things change that quickly, sometimes you have a lot of questions. And just to be honest with you, there were some days that I was driving up and down the road, I was sitting in my office, I was walking across campus, that I was asking, Lord, are you sure you know what you're doing? Because I'm not sure at all. And I felt very inadequate for the task that was before us. But over the last 15 or 16 months, I've learned some really important things about our God. Some really valuable lessons. And I want to just share a few of those with you today. First, I've learned again that God can be trusted. Now, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit to the Lord whatever you do and your plans will succeed. Well, now, proverb is not an ironclad rule. They are proverbs. They are generally the way that things work. Well, that principle is true, that if you commit whatever you're doing to the Lord, He's going to put you in the center of His will, and He's going to work things to accomplish His goals and His purposes, and He'll be faithful to that, and He can be trusted. And in this process, we have learned not only to commit everything that we are doing to the Lord. This is His ministry. It's about honoring Him and glorifying Him. It's about serving the least because that's serving Jesus. And we have learned the truth of what Proverbs 3 says. And I wish a couple of the kids were here so that they could quote this for you, because this has been one of their weekly memory verses. But Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not with a little bit of it, not a part of it, not even most of it, but with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Listen, there's a whole lot more I don't know and don't understand and don't have figured out about what we're doing and what we're going to do and how we're going to go into the future. But I don't have to know all of that. What I do know is that today God has given us children to take care of. God has entrusted us with children to train and to nurture and to love. And so today we need to do that. Didn't Jesus say something in Matthew 6 in verse 34 about not worrying about tomorrow? Because there's enough to be concerned or worry or deal with today. Now, I think about that. I'll give you an example of how I think about some of those things. We got a little boy, he's 9. He's been with us 15 months. There's a really good possibility we're going to raise him and his two sisters. There's a real good possibility he's going to be with us for the next 9 years. He's going to turn 18, graduate high school. I was thinking the other day, I really want him to go to a Christian school. And then it came to my mind, how are we going to pay for that? Well, I don't know, but I started at that moment praying about it, and I believe God's going to take care of it. And we're going to try to do some things. I started thinking about, here's some people I know. There's some people I know right now who have enough resources to pay for that young man to go to college. I don't know if they will or not. They could. So I started thinking about several people, and I thought, Lord, how do I convince them that that's an important thing? Listen, this could transform not only his life, but the next generation of his family, because things have not been very good in the past generations. I don't want his life to turn out like those who've gone before. I want it to be different, and it's on a path now to be very different. I don't know how all that's going to happen, what's going to take place, but I don't have to figure that out. That's above my pay grade. So I just say, Lord, that's your job. Because after all, he's told me he owns everything, right? Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. If he owns everything, then I don't need to worry about owning it. I just need to take care of what he's given me to take care of today. Trust him today. And you know what? He gave us a vehicle to ride over here this morning. He gave us clothes for our kids, food for them. He's given us a great warm place to be this morning for Bible class and worship. And they're in a great class now. And they've been loved on already by many of you. See, a few years ago, it hit me one day when I was talking with a friend of mine who's an alcoholic. He's sitting across the room from me, and he's broken again because he's stumbled. He's been sober for months, and he went out and he drank, and he got drunk, and spent the whole weekend drunk. And he's sitting there, and he's crying in front of me, and he says to me, I don't know if I can do this for the rest of my life. It wasn't my brilliance. It was a moment God gave me a word. I looked at him and I said, you don't have to do it for the rest of your life. He stopped crying. He looked at me. He said, what do you mean? I said, you just have to do it today. And then in the morning, if you're blessed to wake up, just do it that day. He went 8 years, one day at a time, sober. He stumbled again. He's sober again today because he's taken one day at a time. What I've learned in the last 15 months is we can trust in the Lord with all of our heart today. He'll lead us and guide us and take care of us today. And we don't have to worry about tomorrow. That's his job. He'll take care of it. Second thing that I've learned in the last 15 months, I always had some appreciation, I think, but not near as much as I needed. And part of that was just my maybe not paying as much attention as I should have paid. After all, my dad's been in child care for 25 years. 1990, he was at Tennessee Children's Home when New Pathways was started. And Dad's been involved over these last 25 years and still involved. Even though I've replaced him as executive director, he's still on speed dial on my phone, and I talk to him almost daily, asking for advice and wisdom and insight and help. And he still helps us, very invested in what we're doing, very much supportive of what's going on, very much loving our children and our ministry. But I've grown to appreciate what God has said and what he's shown us In places like James 1:27, where the Bible says, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. A few months ago, I got my Greek New Testament out, got two or three of the best tools that I still had around in my library, and did some new reading and research and digging and studying of that passage again. And it hit me in a new way. How many children really are living fatherless all around us? Dads who are totally absent from their lives. They haven't taken responsibility for their physical well-being. They don't care. The fathers of these six children who are with us today do not care if they eat today or not. They don't even know what's going on. They don't care what's going on. If they were naked today, they wouldn't care. If they didn't have a coat, if they didn't take a bath, they sure wouldn't care about them being in a Bible class or worship and exposed to the love of God and the teaching of Christ. And there are dozens and hundreds and maybe even thousands, probably no more than 10 miles from where we're sitting and gathered here today. October 17th was our benefit dinner, and that evening as I was updating the folks who were there about our ministry, I mentioned the new opportunity we'd been given to feed children there out of one of the projects in Paducah. And I said that night, less than 1 mile from where we were sitting in that building, and we'd eaten a great meal, barbecue and all the fixings. Ladies had provided cakes and pies and cookies. I just skipped the barbecue and went right over to the dessert table. I mean, there was chocolate over there. Why did I need barbecue? But right there from where we were sitting, I knew personally, I could see the faces, call some of the names, children that I'd interacted with for 2.5 months who were hungry, less than a mile from where we were sitting in that building. I read the stories of Jesus saying to the disciples, "Don't hinder the children, let them come to me." I listen to Jesus talk about how the kingdom of God is made up of those who are like little children, and unless we become like them, we won't enter. And what it reminds me of is how much God values children, how important they are to Him. Listen, we did great ministry for 24 years with what we were doing. But it didn't catch God by surprise when changes happened. And He didn't throw us out with the bathwater. He opened new opportunities for us to serve. And He brought us opportunities where children are more impressionable than what we ever worked with before. Their hearts are more open to hear of God's love. And I'll tell you, when I go out on the playground and they're swinging away and they're running and they're having a good time, and I hear one of those little voices break out, "Jesus loves me, this I know." It's all I can do to stay there and not cry, because I don't want them to see me crying. But I'm thinking, yes, that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get instilled in their little hearts and minds as deeply as possible that Jesus loves you, so that one day we can share the story of Jesus loving you so much that He died for you to save you, and He wants you to be with Him forever. They are children who want to be mentored and need to be mentored. And we have good Christian folks who are coming around to help us because they understand that important truth about how valuable children are to our God. The last few weeks, I've been reading a lot in Isaiah because Isaiah has a lot to say to Christian or to God's people, and I think the lessons apply to us as Christians about what happens when we lose our focus of the things that are really important to God. And two times in the first chapter, God says to the people of Israel, I'm mad at you. He didn't stop loving them. He didn't give up on them. He just said, I'm mad at you. I'm aggravated with you. I'm disappointed. And one of the things God says twice in Isaiah 1 that has led to his disappointment is their failure to defend the cause of the fatherless. Their failure to take care of children who are vulnerable in their society. Children that nobody else cares about. Nobody else is paying attention to. Nobody else thinks is important. Listen, we live in a great country. And when you look at the way some other places care for those who are vulnerable in society, we do way better. But we don't have a great track record of taking care of children. There are about 500,000 right now across the country who are in state systems of some kind. In Kentucky, there are over 8,000. Half of those children are under the age of 6. They'll spend almost 3 years in the system the first time. They'll go out and they'll come back 3 times at least into the system. So you take a 6-year-old, they're going to spend the next 9 or 10 years of their life in the system that says, we don't want you to know anything about Jesus. And you know what we're producing out of that system? People who then go into the next system, which is the prison system. We've got more prisoners across the country than almost any other nation in the world. And we don't have enough money to build all the prisons that we need to take care of them. What I'm telling you is, it's not working, and it'll never work, and we know that it'll never work because they've taken the most important thing out of the lives of children, and that is an honor and a reverence for God. It's broke, and we've got the answer. And I'm thankful that God is bringing us children that He loves and that He cares for, letting us introduce them to the answer. The third thing I've learned, it fits closely with the first idea of trusting God. And it really fits with understanding even more how precious and valuable children are to God. And that third truth is that we can rely on God to meet our needs. Paul says in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply your every need. It hit me again probably 3 months ago. I was out traveling. Somebody said to me, how is everything going? How you doing? I started telling them about the kids. He said, no, what about finances? What about money? How you doing? And I said, we don't have too much, but we've not had a need yet that God has not met. And all that afternoon and evening, I just kept thinking about that, how awesome that is. We don't have a storehouse, but God's decided we don't need a storehouse full. But we've got everything that we need, and every time there's been a need, it's been met. I told you about those children that we've been feeding, 50 or 60 every Tuesday night. Every Tuesday night, 50 or 60 children. We've been feeding them. Pizza, hamburgers, hot dogs, chili, soup. This last week they had chicken and rice. A week from Tuesday night they're going to have turkey and dressing, all of the vegetables that go with it. We got to looking a couple of weeks ago. Temperatures were changing. They're underdressed for cold. I thought we need to get them something warm. We decided a hooded sweatshirt. It's going to cost about $15 a piece for that. We didn't have an extra $1,500 to pull out of what we're doing, so I called up a friend down at one of the churches in South Graves County. I said, listen, here's what's happened. Here's what we want to do. We need to buy about 100 of those shirts at $15 a piece. It's $1,500. He said, write an email to the letters to the elders. I'll give it to them tonight. I wrote him a letter, emailed it to him. He called me back in a couple of days and said the check's on the way. In the meantime, somebody else had told another person at another congregation about that. They sent a check for $1,500 too. So guess what? Now we're looking at buying those kids coats for winter. And then we'll use some of those for some of those hooded sweatshirts and coats and other needs that our children living on campus have. I just took a step back and said, okay, Lord, I get it. Every time I need to hear it again, God says, look, I promised I'd supply everything you need. When are you going to stop wondering or questioning or doubting and believe me when I say it? And every time when it happens, I always say, okay, Lord, you got my attention. I believe you. And then, you know, I start down another path, start doing things, get busy. And I forget temporarily, and he has to get my attention again. He said, didn't I promise I'd supply everything you need? Yes, Lord, you did promise that. Thank you for that. And I'm so thankful that he does. When I came here, when Dad recruited me, there have been a few times in the last 15 months, Jim, I told him if he wasn't crippled, I'd just take him out back and me and him would wrestle. Because when I came, things probably couldn't have been any better at New Pathways, could they, Jim? I mean, it had been lots of up and downs, and before Dad came, it was probably one of the lowest points in the history of the agency. It was within just maybe days of closing down. And God used Dad and a lot of folks from here and from Benton, from Paducah and Mayfield, all over the place. I was preaching over in Dyersburg. It was the fall of 2010. Dad came to me and sat down and listened. He said, we're in trouble. The fifth Sunday contribution for a special ministry or mission was coming up at West Dyersburg. Dad said, do you think that the church, that the elders would agree to help us? I said, I think it'd be a great thing. I'll take it to them. They said, let's do it. So we started building up to that Sunday. It was the fifth Sunday in October 2010. I started preaching, talking about, Dad preached, talked about New Pathways, talked about the needs, talked about how critical a time it was. That fifth Sunday, that church gave $29,000. And Dad said, as he looked back, that was the point when God used that to infuse new hope, because then other folks said, hey, we can step up and help too, and we're willing to do that. And he came here and visited with many of you and the church and many other places. And as he's reminded me often, God supplied every need. And even though things have changed, even though we don't do what we used to do, and we don't have the revenue that comes from what we used to do, because the state did pay a part of what it cost to take care of their kids, I'm convinced we're exactly where God wants us to be, and we're doing exactly what God wants us to do. And God shows us evidence of that every day as he meets that promise to supply our every need. And my wonderful partner, Kim, and I can't tell you how much she does that she doesn't get paid for, hours and hours and days of time that she spends and invests as a volunteer and help. She always reminds me, don't forget to say, even though God's meeting every need, we don't need you to quit helping Him help us meet that need. So don't put your checkbook back in your pocket yet. We do need, but that's the way God is meeting that need, is by good folks like you who understand those same truths, that we can trust God. And that because God loves children, you do too. And you're helping us meet the needs that we have to care for our children. And it is a great, great blessing. I was sitting over here a while ago holding Jennifer. In some ways, by this point, she kind of thinks she owns me. But that's okay. She doesn't have a dad in her life. As far as I know, she doesn't have a grandfather. She doesn't have an uncle. I think maybe her brother, as he grows up, will become very significant in her life. I hope that he will. But God has placed me at this point to be that person. And she's sitting there and she's got a little bit of a cold. And she's using Kleenex. And she wasn't blowing very good. And so I grabbed the Kleenex and I held it up there and she blew. And then she still used her sleeve and wiped it there. And then she took the other hand and wiped it and then just put it down on my sleeve. And I went back about 24 years to when I would have been sitting there holding my own daughter. And I thought, what a great blessing that God has brought into our lives. And when I say ours, I'm saying all of ours. Because as I sat there and physically held her in my arms, you were helping me to hold her. You were helping me to let her know that she's important and she's valuable and that God loves her and that we love her. And you were helping me let her know that there's hope for her young life. That there are things that are better, that there's a future where God has plans and a purpose to bring her hope. And to do her good and not harm. And as she sat there in my lap and in my arms and she laid over, you helped me make her life better. And you continue to do that. And my pledge to you is that we'll keep those core values at the center of everything that we'll do. We will every day commit our plans to the Lord. We'll seek Him first in everything that we do. And we will continue to value the children that He brings to us. And we'll continue to give Him thanks for meeting and fulfilling the promise that He's made to us to supply our every need. And we'll continue to be a beacon of hope to children, to bring glory and honor to our great God. And I say again, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Because we couldn't do it without you. And it's not just the checks. I can't tell you what it means to us to be with you. For you to affirm what we're doing, to encourage us, for us to know you're praying for us to know really just how much you do care. That means a lot to us. And we thank you. God has given all of us the choice and the opportunity to live for Him, to serve Him. As we conclude here now, it may be that your life is not where you want it to be and you need to make a change of direction. You need to move closer to God. I know that the shepherds, this church family, would be glad to assist you, glad to help you do that if you have any need. Let's stand and let's sing together.